Welcome to the Fullermoney Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 3rd of March, recording at 9:23 p.m. and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, in terms of global stock markets, we had continuation in the downward drift. Well, yesterday wasn't so much downward drift as a downward hit, but today we had a few dead cat bounce attempts here by Wall Street, but closing with modest losses overall. And in the long-dated government bonds, prices actually gave up a little bit of ground, although the U.S. 30-year future is up half a point as I speak. It was up higher when Wall Street was weaker. The main news item, though, I think on the day is the weakness of precious metals, which had a real shakeout here, with silver getting down to 1243 before bouncing quite sharply and more than halving its lows on the day. Gold got down to 905.53 before bouncing at $11. And platinum also fell downwards, so it got down to 1030, so slightly below its last little range reaction low, currently at 1037. Crude oil is a little bit firmer in here. The industrial commodities are mostly firmer today. That includes all the industrial metals except for aluminium, which is down just a tiny fraction, and the agricultural commodities mixed but a little bit steadier in here today. The most dramatic news in that sector recently, and I'd missed it yesterday, was its sugar. Sugar was hit quite hard. Sugar had been one of the firmest commodities prior to that. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, in terms of global stock markets, these declines are being stretched a bit. Owen and I had a look through, a couple of click-throughs here, looking at all the world stock market indices. I mean, this is something that happens daily here, and it's not just the world stock market indices, but also the commodities and currencies and interest rate futures. And we had an additional look through on weekly charts, and the epicenter of global economic problems, and I've said for the better part of 3 years that that's the USA in terms of real importance. Many can argue, I think quite accurately, that Europe is another epicenter in its own right here, with significant problems. And these are the weaker stock markets. These are the ones that have been leading down here recently. Now, some of those declines are beginning to appear overstretched. So short-term oversold conditions have developed. That doesn't mean that the market can't or won't go lower in the short term, because where's the beef in terms of demand? We're not seeing it. Investors are holding back. They're inert. I don't doubt that some value investors are nibbling here, but they're doing it on a very incremental basis. And nothing has happened yet to squeeze the shorts who are in charge of this decline. And anybody who's got a short position has been able to run quite a tight trailing stop, because there hasn't been much in the way of a bounce very recently. As we look around the globe, though, the other regions outside of, say, North America and Europe are doing considerably better. Asia, for instance, South America, for instance, those are the two stronger holdouts if we take the viable in terms of capitalistic South American markets. Brazil, Chile, a couple of good examples. Those indices, although they have weakened recently, they're just holding up so much better. They're not near to testing their November or October lows. China and its influence within Asia. Some of the Asian stock markets, a number of them are drifting down towards their previous lows, but they haven't broken down yet. An interesting question for me is will the oversold condition that's developing in the Wall Street leash and the European leash, if you will they pull everything else down with them, or will they see a meaningful rally before the others break downwards? And I think it's an important question because, you know, in technical analysis, we look for leadership. All stock markets are in trading ranges. Well, what's going to break up out of those ranges? Well, really only China and Brazil and a couple of others. I mentioned they would include Chile and also Colombia. Now, they had broken up out of their ranges, but that's not a whole lot, and only two major markets in China and Brazil. And they haven't been able to maintain it, more importantly, and a host of European and North American indices have broken downwards. So in terms of technical analysis generally, that obviously tips the balance to the downside in terms of risk. But the questions that are running through my mind is that will we see a huge sell-off overall? Well, I've already gone on record a number of times and saying that I thought it would be much less severe than the October-November slump, or I should really say the September-October slump. Yes, that's my correction. It'd be a lot less severe than the September-October correction. Now, that's a hunch, just because markets are already fairly bombed out overall. And the So that's certainly one point that I would emphasize. Another one is that if, and this is a big if, all for the bulls to prove, but if we were to see a meaningful short covering rally in the Western stock markets without having first dragged the Asian indices and the South American indices that I mentioned into new bear market decline territory, then that would support the overall base building hypothesis that I've mentioned earlier on. Either way, the charts will show us, and my view is that this is still going to be a long convalescence, and that one need not be in any hurry to run into these markets. Yes, value investors are justified to nibble, and that will certainly include some of you, and no doubt you're doing that. But you don't need to be aggressive in these markets. I don't think that they are sufficiently oversold. If they were accelerating downwards, then I think one would be justified in being more aggressive in coming back in, because the acceleration would be pretty well ensuring quite a sharp technical rebound to follow. And as you know, the economic news is diabolical. It's reporting what's already happened, of course, but it's full of sufficient surprises and just general gloom to keep buyers relatively cautious here. As I've said frequently, I'm not tempted to dip into my pool of capital. If anything, I've increased it a little bit with some trading profits taken recently in precious metals. So I would prefer to watch these stock markets. Downward acceleration, I'll get ready to buy something for a bounce. If we get the short covering rally prior to downward acceleration, and if it occurs relatively soon, and we're to push the Western indices back up into those trading ranges, I would feel that that was a very positive development in terms of bottoming out. But as I've already said, it's all for the bulls to prove. Long-dated government bonds continue to take their cue from stock markets, but whereas European stock markets and U.S. a number of U.S. stock market indices, although not the NASDAQ, have moved to new bear market lows, so we see the U.S. Treasuries well off their highs. And the European government bonds, while they are right up near their highs, there's been no meaningful push upwards in the last month at a time when stock markets have weakened. That's suggesting to me that the demand for these long-dated instruments is dissipating somewhat. The dollar is still firm. The yen is soft. The yen is the short currency of choice, in my opinion. I missed an opportunity yesterday during all the drama to reopen my Australian dollar long against the Japanese yen. I could have gone back in at the same price I went in initially before taking the profit. Well, before the profit was taken as stops are triggered. But that does, I do feel that the yen is the currency to short in here. I wouldn't chase other currencies upwards against it. We should get enough choppy action to give one opportunities in here. But the Japanese have clearly stated that they want the yen weaker. They need the yen weaker. And the fact that the yen is weaker is suggesting to me that the yen carry trade unwind is pretty much over. So that's the interesting currency play, and I feel that the dollar is living on borrowed time, but it can borrow more time in here. In other words, it hasn't capitulated here. We don't see evidence that it's breaking down in here. So the yen's the one that I would concentrate on. Precious metals, you know our view at Fuller Money. We always advise that they're best purchased following setbacks. Always tricky because it feels like catching knife territory. Silver had a bit of tail following its early sell-off today. They could easily come a little bit lower here if Wall Street remains weak. I know while Wall Street was drifting down within its range, they were quite firm, but the breaks through the November lows by the Dow and the S&P have increased fear levels in the markets, and that has weighed on the precious metals in here. But my own view is that they're closer to buying ranges than selling ranges right now. I wouldn't mind seeing, even though I stepped in too soon in the catch a falling knife territory with gold, repurchasing my gold position, I have not yet moved on silver, which is often an important one for me. But you know, I'm looking to buy, and I think that's pretty much it for another day. So, all the very best to all of you.